who knows my weakness and gives me strength which I don't have. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Purify me from within. Oh, oh Lord, with your Holy Spirit, and take away all my sins. Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord. Came to save the hearts and soul of every man. Oh, it is you, Lord, who knows my weakness, gives me strength which I don't have. Lord, prepare me, Lord, prepare. Prepare me, Jesus, this morning. Be a sanctuary for you, Father. Pure and holy, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. Sanctuary for you. Lead me on the this morning, Father. Lead me on, Lord, from temptation. Purify me from within. Fill my heart, Father, my Lord. Fill my heart, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Take away all my sins. Lord, prepare me, Lord, within. Prepare me, Father, to be a sanctuary. Be a sanctuary, Lord. Sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true.
That will become a permanent dwelling place of the Most High. And to become that, O Lord, we need a complete surrender, O Lord. That's why we have come this morning to surrender our will, to surrender our ambitions, to surrender our own self, O Lord, unto your leadership, unto your authority, so that you, the great architect, you can mold us to your own image, because you can dwell only where your image is reflected, O Lord. Help us, Heavenly Father, as we commit this service into your hand this morning. Lead us, be with us, O Lord. Bless your people you have come. We are needy people, O Lord. You know our desires. Some have not paid their rents, O Lord. Some have not clothes to protect themselves from the coming winter, O Lord. Some have not paid their fees for any kind of commitment they have. Some are sick, O Lord. Some are seeking for the blessing of the womb, O Lord. Some are seeking for, O Lord, to make a family, to get married, O Lord. You know, all these needs, Heavenly Father, they are there.
Hallelujah.
But we have come first to worship you, according to your word, O Lord, and all the other will be given us as a bonus, O Lord. Bless your people as we open your word. Bless it. Let it be a blessing to any one of us, to every one of us, O Lord. Let our hearts that came hungry, let it be filled, and let us go back blessed and fulfilled in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you richly. Happy to see you again this Sunday in the house of the Lord. Happy to see Brother Mike again. Though he's my neighbor, but we have not met all the lockdown time. Isn't it, bro? Yeah. But happy to see him. Yesterday I came to your place, you were not there. Okay, we praise the Lord for his blessing, his faithfulness, keeping us, and all he has done for us. We are so thankful for that. Sunday, 6th of September, we are heading toward the end of the year. By his grace, amen. We didn't know 2020 would be a year of big changes, you know, disruption in the world system. But we are there. God is still keeping us and protecting us. We praise him for that. So we are going to open our Bibles, Ephesians 4. God bless you, musicians, for being at your post of duty. God bless you, Brother Vegas, Brother Clayton, everybody back there. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You may be seated. God bless you. Yeah, you can come, bro. God bless you. Brother Marco, God bless you. I saw him somewhere. Ah, okay. Brother Sasha and family, God bless you. Amen. Brother Marco, welcome. All the way from Newbridge, is it?
Yes, amen.
God bless you. So we are still on our study, the ministry in the Bride of Christ. Yeah, last week we saw what the ministry of an apostle is as the prophet says it and as the Bible says it. There was a question that came just afterward. I was very happy the way Brother Andrew asked the question. We didn't mean that people shouldn't leave Europe or America to go and do missionary work in Africa or in China or no. That's not what we meant. People are still meant to go to do missionary work. That's what the apostles were doing. Paul, you'll see, he went to Lystra, he went to Macedonia, they were still going to evangelize because those people need someone who has the flame to go and lit up the flame there. Amen. But the way the prophet puts it, he says, the most effective way to do it when you go is to get a native converted. It means someone has still to go from the white man country, from the black man country. Someone has to go. And when he gets there, the most effective way to do it is to get someone to get converted. Make him a disciple. The time he is a disciple, it's easy for him to convert his friends, to convert his brothers. That's what we said. So it's not that the missionaries who shouldn't go. They still can go. They have to go. That was the commission. Go and make everybody my disciples. That was the commission. So there's no room for confusion there. If there's still questions, they still can be asked. So today we are going to see the ministry of pastor. You know, we are just under that big umbrella where the question was asked to the prophet. In the question answer in the seals. Would the Bride of Christ have a ministry before the rapture? That was the question. Amen. And the prophet said, yes, sure. That's what's going on right now. Amen. Certainly, it's the message of the hour. The Bride of Christ, sure, she consists of apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. So that's what the Bride of Christ, that the job, the Bride of Christ, the ministry must be doing the job to prepare the bride before they go into the rapture. So God has appointed this fivefold ministry. That's the job they have to do to prepare that the ministry of the bride before the rapture. So we have seen that this ministry has to operate the way God has appointed them to work. I was very happy when Brother Andrew came to add something last Sunday, that every one of the five of us to operate in the boundaries of how God has defined the ministry. Don't leave your position. Don't try to emulate. Don't try to imitate another. If God has called you to be an apostle, be an apostle. Amen. If God has called you to be a pastor, be a pastor. Amen. That's why we are trying to see how this ministry operates. Amen. So, a pastor, what is it? The prophet says in that same sermon, God doesn't call man to judgment without first warning him. But you see, in the church, there is the pastor. And the pastor is a special person. He's built, he can put up with the fusses of the people. Amen? That's the pastor. He can put up with the fusses of the people. He is a burden bearer. He is the ox of the team. He is a man that can sit down when somebody's got something against somebody else and sit down with them two families and take need aside and reason it out and bring it right back into sweetness. Amen. He is the pastor. Amen. He knows how to take care of things. Amen. That's what the prophet says about a pastor. He is a burden bearer. You know, it's different from an evangelist who just come there to, you know, rebuke, repent or perish. That's it. Amen. Repent or perish with your miniskirt. If you don't, you'll go to hell. That's an evangelist. But a pastor is a burden bearer. He's there, you know, to bear with the need of the people. He is the person who puts himself in the people's shoes and try to sympathize, to come, you know, to put himself, to go along with his sheep, with the people, and try to resolve, to answer their questions. By definition, a shepherd is a person who tends, who herds, who feeds, or guards herds of sheep. That's the dictionary definition of a shepherd or a pastor. He's someone who looks after the sheep, who tends, someone who herds, someone who feeds. We need to understand these things. That is what Christ is expecting pastors being doing on his bride while she's waiting for the rapture. God has appointed that ministry to tend, to look after, to nourish, to feed. It's very important we understand that, because what we see today in the message or in churches, pastors has become everything except this. Right. Amen. Mm. Pastors are supposed to feed the sheep. But today it's sheep that feed the pastors. Amen. It's a pity. Amen. It's actually sheep now that feed the pastors. I'm speaking spiritually and physically. Pastors are supposed to feed the sheep. But today, instead of feeding the sheep, more pastors are sharing sheep. Amen? Instead of feeding the sheep, the job of the pastors today is just to go share the sheep. You'll find very, you know, skinny sheep with a fat pastor. Fat pastor feeding on the sheep. You know, you have to pay your tithes. That's the only sermon the pastor knows now. You just pay your tithes. Share the sheep instead of feeding the sheep. There was a man who was asked, that man wanted to raise a chicken. He went to see a mentor, a coach, who wanted to teach me how to take care, to look after chicken, how to raise chicken. The first advice that the coach told him, to raise chicken, first, you have to love chicken. He asked the man, do you love chicken? The man said, yes, I love chicken meat. Amen. So everything he loves from chicken is meat. Eat, kill chicken, eat chicken. It's not that kind of love. You are going to see how Jesus defined a pastor. What a pastor must be to his flock. You are not there just, you know, to get fat from sheep's fat. And the sheep, they are becoming skinny. And you, pastor, you are becoming fat day after day. Of, you know, the wool of the sheep's. That's not the way things should be. If we go into John 10, Jesus defines what a pastor should be, what a pastor must be. John chapter 10, 10. I left my Bible there, so I was to ask you to put it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, thank you very much. He that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now he starts defining the qualities, the characteristic of the shepherd. And that's what this ministry of the pastor in the body must be. It must reflect the characteristic Jesus is describing in John 10. Amen. I'm just going to pick a few characters. I'm just going to pick a few characters and we'll see how Jesus puts it up. Amen. A good shepherd first, Jesus says, is willing to lay down his life for his sheep. Amen. That's what a pastor is. Amen. A pastor who will sacrifice himself for his sheep. Amen. A pastor is not someone who will be just demanding from the sheep. Demanding from the sheep. No, bring me this. I've seen churches where believers are afraid even to buy a nice watch. If he has a nice watch, when the pastor comes there, say, you should see that. You should sow. You know, you reap what you sow. You know. So if you sow your watch, you'll reap 100-fold. A nice shirt. A sheep can't have a nice shirt. A sheep can't have a nice car. Everything must belong to the pastor. So when you go to church with your nice watch, expect a sermon will be preached and you leave that watch into the church for the pastor to take it. A pastor is someone who lay his life for his sheep. That's why he said, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Amen. 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 That's what a pastor must be. Because the way the prophet puts it for the servants of God or for the ministers, the priority of the priorities of how can you put it? The list of priorities. God, God's people, his family, and then himself. That's the priority list on how to treat people. God, the people of God, the sheep first. A good shepherd. That's why sometimes when someone is so committed to serving the people of God, sometimes you'll see his family is neglected, which is another extreme. We don't want it like that. But the person is so committed to serving the people of God that sometimes he starts even forgetting his own children. See Moses. Moses forgot to circumcise his own children. Why? Because he was so committed to the people of God. For him, the people of God was very, very important. So important that if God got cross against him because he forgot to circumcise his own children. The people of God must come first. He has to lay his life, sacrifice himself for the people of God. There's many things we can say there, but we are just, you know, brushing, flying through. Verse 15, he says, as the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The good shepherd will lay down his life. Before you go and kill the sheep, you have to kill him first. Anything that the sheep have to eat, the good shepherd must be sure that it won't kill them. Even if he has to taste it himself, he has to lay his life for his sheep. That's what the past, that ministry in the body must be. There's many things we can say. A second character, another character, he doesn't do it because of money.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A pastor, a shepherd, doesn't care after his sheep because of money. Because if he does it for money, when something bad will come, he'll fly away. But if someone who has the true nature, the true character of a shepherd, he doesn't do it for money. Whether there is money or not, he will serve God. Whether he has to go, you know, he has to come on foot, walk and, you know, under rain, under snow, he will go and serve the people, minister for the people of God. I've seen a brother, I have a lot of respect for that brother. That's why even now, when I'm here, he's back home in Congo. When I have something, I support that ministry. Amen. I support that because I know that brother served God not because of money. Amen. He's in the bush somewhere far from the big cities. And I know at some stage he had 7 churches he was looking after. Himself, he was a poor guy. He was a farm guy. He was just doing living after just tilling the soil, planting and harvesting and doing that. But on a Sunday, he was going to preach on 3 churches. And they were separated, I don't know, 50 kilometers apart, each other. And we'd go on foot. 6 a.m. is preaching on one of the churches. 12 is in the other church. And 5 p.m. is preaching in the third church. On foot. And the next morning is back doing his job. And he did it for years. Amen. That's a good shepherd. Is not doing it for money. Those people he was going to preach, they were poor people, you know, peasants. People back there, they had nothing he could take from them. But he would go and minister, and he did it so that it affected even his health. Amen. One day I was talking to him, I had tears in my heart. He showed me his hands. He said, "See, brother, there were, you know, marks over because he works the soil. He plants. So there was many, you know, scars and the wounds." He said, "Just because that time I was still a student, I couldn't do anything for him. But I said, this is a sincere man. He's serving really God. He doesn't do it for money. But what we see today, it's so pitiful. The pastors, the ministry, the pastorship has become is just after money. They want to take everything from the sheep. And it's a pity to say, but not only money, they've gone even far. Every good thing that belongs to the sheep must become the pastors, even the wife. Amen. We have seen it. The pastors are taking everything from the believer, and they can still point to the scriptures. Amen. They can still point to the scriptures. You have to pay a tithe of everything, even your wife. You know, it's so insane. Not only women, not only wives, but they've gone even to take girls, daughters of their believers. They want to take everything. These are things that happened and that's happening in the message. That's happening in the message. A pastor, because of the trust, because of what the believers, you know, the confidence he has gained in the believer, he starts abusing his position. That's not a pastor. That's a sheep shearer. He's not a sheep feeder. He doesn't look after the sheep. He likes just sheep meat, you know. Kill the sheep, eat the meat. If the sheep give a lamb, he even eat the lambs. He eats sheep, lambs, wool, everything. We are so thankful that we have a good pastor.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are so thankful to the Lord. And if you have a God-fearing pastor, you have to praise God for that. Because the margin is so slim to fall on one side or on the other. Sheep are not clever creatures, naturally speaking. And it's easy for a shepherd to abuse the sheep. Very easy. Sheep are easily creatures that you can seduce easily. They don't argue. They give out everything willingly. It's just a matter of the pastor being, you know, cunning with a good language. He will abuse the sheep easily because of the trust the sheep have given him. They trust him with their daughters, their girls. They trust him with their money. And if that shepherd, so-called shepherd, is not a man called from God, he can easily abuse the families. That's why we need God-fearing pastors. Amen. He is also committed with passion. He does the job with passion to serve the people. He says it in verse 13. Verse 12. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. But the good pastor is committed to defending his people. Even when a danger is coming. Even if things don't work the way they are supposed to work. Even if there is an economic shutdown in the country. A good pastor will stand with his people. Amen. 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 He will stand with his people. We have seen things, my brother, my sister, people still calling themselves pastors. But when things start going bad economically in the country, jobs start, you know, shutting down and this and that, he said, you listen, from the money he has earned from the sheep, because let's say things, you know, the way they are, and let's be honest, most of the pastors, when they started the ministry, they didn't have money. They came poor in the ministry. But from what they've earned from the sheep, from the ministry, it has made them now to become controlling over the people. It has made them now to take some other, you know, to make a distance with them, with the people, between them and the people. So since things don't work good in the country, well in the country, okay, with the money he has earned from the ministry, say, you stay here in Ghana, I go to live in America. You know, I'm still your pastor, okay? I'm still your pastor. You solve your issues. Everything, when it will be fine, I will come back. That's not a good pastor. That's not what Jesus says in John 10. When a wolf comes, the pastor runs away and goes and lives in Australia where there's never electricity, never power cuts, where the internet is there 24/7, good life every day. But he's still perceiving the tides, you know. You stay there, I will be in safety there, and when things will be back to normal, then I will come back. No, that's not the way the Lord describes it. The pastor will stand with his people. Amen. He does it with passion. He's there when things work well. Because you are pastor only when everybody was going to a good job, good salary, big tithes, giving you big gifts, car, everything. Then you are there. When those same people that were supporting you, when they are now in trouble, you leave them, you go. But you are still claiming their tithes. That's not the way it should be. A pastor must be there with his people. Of course, you can be stuck in some difficult situation. The quarantine finds you. I don't know wherever you are. That's, exceptional circumstances. But the way it should work, a pastor should be there with his people. In good time and in bad time. Fight along his people. Help them through. When the people see the sheep, because we have no time to finish it today. When the people see the shepherd, when the sheep will see the shepherd, they gain confidence. Even if they didn't have anything to eat. But the time they see their pastor, there's a consolation in the heart. Amen. There's a comfort in the heart. They feel safe. But wait, you are not there. You are pastoring by telephone. God bless you. The time is there. We'll carry on later. Amen. God bless you. Lord, we thank you for your love, for granting us the opportunity to speak again about these things, oh Lord. Trying to warn your people of the time we are living. You have placed these things in our hearts, oh Lord, and we are so thankful. We believe, oh Lord, that it's for a purpose. Now that we have heard, help us to get a spiritual understanding, and that these things must become our way of life. Bless your people. Bless the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.